Welcome to the Peyto Exploration and Development Year-End 2014 Reserves Podcast, where we discuss the results of our reserve report as at December 31st, 2014, with Darren G., the President and CEO of Peyto Exploration and Development, J.P. Lachance, our VP of Exploitation, and Rico Espiritu, the Manager of Engineering and Business Development. Darren, we have issued a news release that presents the highlights of the independent reserve report conducted by Insight Petroleum Consultants, who have many years' experience with our wells and our exploration and exploitation activities. In 2014, we spent a record amount of capital while keeping the efficiency in line. How does this compare to previous years, and how do you see this comparing to our peers?
Jim, I think our capital program this year yielded almost exactly what we expected, and I think that's a testament to our strategy. It has become that predictable and that repeatable year after year. Our finding costs were very similar to the last several years at just over $2 an MCFE, and we built new production at just under the five-year average of 17,000 per flowing BOE. And we maintained those safe metrics even though we deployed the largest annual capital program in our history. How's that going to stack up relative to our peers? Well, I'd say compared to our peers, it will compare very well. It may not be the absolute cheapest in this particular year, but I think it'll be hard to find many other companies that have done it for as many years in a row as we have. But we have to remember, the F&D and the capital efficiency isn't the whole story. Those are just individual metrics. You have to look at all the metrics to get a real sense of the profitability, which is the whole goal here. As we pointed out to investors, when you isolate the capital that we invested, we generated a very good return on it. Somewhere right around the 30% before tax internal rate of return. And of course, that's a full cycle return because it includes land, seismic, and facilities. And I think when we compare that result to our peers in the industry, I think there are very few that can rival that full cycle risk return.
Rico, in our news release, we break down the number of wells that drilled into proven reserves, probable reserves, and those other targets that had not had any reserves assigned to them in previous reserve reports. Can you give us more color on what new reserves were uncovered by our drilling activity in 2014?
Sure, Jim. Good morning. Well, as discussed in the news release, Peyto drilled 123 gross wells, or 114 net, in 2014. Most of these wells were drilled in the Greater Sundance area in Ansel, and in Brazil. Much like in 2013, the majority of these wells, 102 out of 123, are Spirit River horizontal wells in the wool-rich Nauticuan and Fowler zones. The shallow Cardium and the deeper Blue Sky make up the remainder at 8 wells and 13 wells, respectively. Although no new zone is on stream in 2014, Peyto was successful in adding a new middle Fowler play in Brazil, where 3 new wells were drilled. All 3 wells are now producing along with the other new wool-rich wells. At Pedley, where the Nauticuan is the main target, Peyto drilled a successful middle Fowler well as well, and a second location is being drilled currently. Of course, the Nauticuan play in this area is prolific, with 2 drilled high-rate wells drilled in 2014, and a third one just completed recently. Finally, at Ansel, and in addition to the prolific wool-rich and the even more prolific middle Fowler interval, Peyto drilled a couple of upper Fowler wells, one of which is almost as prolific as the middle Fowler wells. It is important to note that the middle Fowler play at Ansel continues to yield outstanding results with the addition of 4 high-rate wells in 2014. So in summary, the new reserves for 2014 are from the same horizons as in the past, and the breakdown of well species is as follows: 13 Blue Sky wells, 8 Cardium wells, 1 lower Fowler well, 24 middle Fowler wells, 12 upper Fowler wells, 15 Nauticuan wells, and 50 wool-rich wells. Overall, 2014 yielded similar results to 2013, with the average reserves assignment at more than 530,000 BOEs per well on a P plus P basis.
Another perennial question, Rico, is how our horizontal wells have been performing against previous year's reserve evaluations. Our oldest horizontal wells are now more than 5 years old, and knowing how our horizontal wells have progressed against the original and subsequent modeling should give us a better feel for their predictability and the confidence level in our projections. So how are they stacking up as they age, and how much better are our models because of our increasing experience with them?
Well, Jim, I'm pleased to report that Peyto's first 3 horizontal wells from 5 years ago continue to perform as predicted. There have been no changes to their assignments in the past 2 years. In fact, those wells drilled prior to 2011 have shown just a minor positive overall increase from last year's evaluation, so it's safe to assume that they have entered in the next phase in their producing lives that is more stable and hence more predictable. The newer wells as a group continue to show modest increases year over year, and with more than 450 horizontal wells now to derive our production type curves from, predicting the performance of future wells from similar reservoirs with certain degrees of accuracy is getting easier. However, we continue to tweak and improve our models as more production data become available so that we can better predict going forward the wells' ultimate recoveries. We rely on these tweaked models to provide us a better understanding of where we are headed in the future. And with more production data available, we are more confident that our models are much improved and more reliable today.
Rico, the news release mentions that the reserve life index for proved producing, total proven, and proven plus probable decreased to 7, 11, and 18 years respectively. Can you explain why the numbers keep declining year over year? Have the horizontal wells caused these numbers to decline?
The short answer to your question is yes, the horizontal wells have caused these numbers to decline. Peyto's reserve life index is derived by taking the remaining recoverable reserves and dividing this number by the average Q4 production. Always expressed in years, Peyto's reserve life index for PDP, TP, and P+P reached their peaks in 2009 at 14 years, 21 years, and 29 years respectively. However, since the inception of Peyto's horizontal well program and the implementation of the multi-stage horizontal fracturing completion technique in late 2009, the reserve life index numbers have been declining year over year. The reason for this is simply because the rate of increase in total production brought about by the more prolific horizontal wells is greater than the rate of increase in total reserves. In other words, the initial productivity of a horizontal well is typically 5 times to 6 times greater than a typical vertical well, but the reserves assigned to it will not necessarily be 5 times to 6 times larger. And because Peyto has not drilled a vertical well since 2010, the ratio of horizontal well production to vertical well production has been increasing over time, while at the same time the reserve additions from these horizontal wells are not proportional with the substantial increases in production. For example, if we take this year's reserve life index in the PDP category, and if we break down Peyto's Q4 average production to determine the contribution from the vertical wells and the contribution from the horizontal wells, we will get the following statistics. The vertical wells are contributing only 14% of the total production, but the remaining recoverable reserves are higher at 34% of the total, which will equate to the vertical wells' reserve life index of more than 15 years. On the other hand, the horizontal wells contribute 86% of the total production, but their associated remaining recoverable reserves are at 66% of the total only, which shortens the horizontal wells' reserve life index to 5 years. So all in, when we combine the production and the reserves, we arrive at a blended reserve life index of 6.6 years. There's no doubt that the high initial rates of the horizontal wells are skewing the reserve life index calculation.
So, JP, we're projecting a lower decline rate for our base production in 2015 than we saw in 2014. Can you explain the difference in our base production between 2014 and 2015 that led to this and where things are headed going forward?
Sure, Jim. Insight forecasts our corporate base production rate to decline by 36% during 2015. And this is a lower rate than we experienced over 2014, which was approximately 38%. The base decline rate is largely influenced by the amount of new production added from the prior year, since the nature of tight gas wells is to have a much higher first-year decline rate before shallowing as the well matures. Coming into 2014, our production was made up of over 50% of new wells drilled in 2013. Part of the reason we had so much new production at the start of that year was due to a conscious decision to delay bringing wells on in a poor gas price environment during the summer of 2013. Now, coming into 2015, we are starting with additions from our group of 2014 wells at 41,000 BOEs per day out of a total of 85,000. That means less than half of Peyto's 2015 base production is subject to that higher first-year decline rate, and the rest of our base is at a much lower rate due to their maturity. When you consider over the last 5 years, Peyto has consistently added production for under 17,000 a flowing BOE, He realized that the corporate decline rate is determined merely by the size of the capital program the year before. Providing we continue to grow our capital program at a modest pace each year, we will see gradual decreases in corporate decline rates the following year, as the new edge becomes a smaller component of the base, thus making it even easier to grow production.
Okay, so JP, in the detailed analysis of our news release, we mentioned that the actual costs and reserves assigned to the 90 booked locations we drilled in 2014 came in very close to the projections set in the 2013 report. Can you expand on the historical record of these predictions and the relevance or importance of the accuracy?
Yes, Jim, of the 123 gross wells Peyto drilled last year, 90 of them were already recognized by Insight's 2013 evaluation as undeveloped locations. In that report, we carried a total of $417 million of capital and assigned a total of 278 BCFE of reserves for those wells. The actual cost to convert those 90 undeveloped locations to producing reserves in 2014 was $419 million, and the results of the wells yielded an assignment in aggregate of 288 BCFE. This represents an actual development cost of $1.46 an MCFE as compared to the book value of $1.50 per MCFE. In fact, if we look back over the last 4 years, Peyto has consistently converted undeveloped reserves to producing reserves for less than what had been represented on the books the year prior. And during that period, Peyto has converted a total of 270 gross undeveloped locations at a total gross cost of $1.2 billion to gain 869 BCFE of producing reserves, equating to an average development cost of $1.42 an MCFE. During that same period, Peyto's books carried those undeveloped reserves at an average cost of $1.52 per MCFE. Now, this is important since this consistency should provide confidence in the quality of Peyto's undeveloped reserves as booked. The past has shown that we can drill our undeveloped reserves for costs at or lower than those represented on our books. I'm not sure too many companies have such tight agreement on their conversion statistics as Peyto.
Darren, our reserve report speaks to the current price of both oil and gas, as well as our hedging strategy. And it also identifies nearly $3 billion of booked drilling inventory over the next 5 years. How is current commodity pricing affecting our plans?
You know, Jim, thankfully, our inventory of future drilling has some very robust economics, meaning that all of those booked locations will survive if the current commodity prices persist. I don't think the same can be said of many of our peers in the industry. And I think the evidence of that is the dramatic cuts in capital budgets that we've seen and heard about for 2015. Whereas in contrast, here we are with a very large and active capital program planned for 2015. And I think that company behavior right now is a real telling indicator of just how economic some of these companies' future inventory really is, regardless of what they have on their reserve books. If they truly believed in the profitability of those locations, I'd expect that they'd be getting out there and trying to get them drilled right now. Whereas here we are saying that our inventory is not only economic at these prices, but gets even better as we see lower and lower service costs, which is why we want to get after it aggressively this year and do as much as we can.
Darren, the highlights at the beginning of a reserve report news release give our FD&A costs, including changes in future development capital, but then we provide the same without the changes in future development capital for what we describe as comparative purposes. How do we compare with other companies? Why are we using one set of numbers, and why can't those numbers be easily compared to other companies?
Jim, you know, National Instrument 51-101 came into place, and it really did define how FD&A costs are supposed to be calculated for all companies across the industry. And what it dictates is that F&D costs need to be calculated using all the capital that you spent in the year, and then for any future reserves that are to be developed, you have to include the change in your expected costs for those future wells, so the future development capital and the change in that future development capital. That's how you're supposed to calculate it and report it. Unfortunately, not everybody does it this way, and instead some guys report without the FDC, or the future development capital, to try and make their numbers look a little better. So what we've done is we've presented it both ways so that shareholders can properly compare the metrics if they're looking to compare without FDC across different companies. But the reality is you do have to consider the change in future development capital to properly calculate FDNA. So that would be the number that shareholders should really focus on.
Rico, another item from the highlights section says that for every well we drilled from our booked inventory, that we added 2.5 future locations. Where are we at with unbooked drilling inventory today? As the unbooked locations are not acknowledged in any of our reserve categories, how do we evaluate their potential reserves when we are making the case to drill an exploratory well?
Jim, the 90 wells in Peyto's inventory last year that were converted in 2014 were replaced with 225 new locations this year, increasing the total horizontal well inventory count to 747 locations, which is an increase of 22% over last year's count. However, it should be noted that Peyto's unbooked locations count far exceeds the 747 horizontal locations identified by InSight. Currently, Peyto has identified more than 1,900 horizontal locations on its land base that spans the deep basins from the north in Kakwa all the way down to the south in Brazeau. This leaves approximately 1,200 unbooked locations in the Cardium, Dunvegan, Cadotte, Viking, Nauticuan, Fullers, Woolrich, Blue Sky, and Cadman that are deemed exploratory by InSight at the moment. When InSight deems a potential location as exploratory, it means that there are no known production or completion in the zone of interest from immediate offset sections that are surrounding it. The best case scenario is that there may be a probable location offsetting it. Now, probable locations are bounded by known producing entities or completions in the zone of interest on one side only. Now, because the exploratory locations are situated in areas with high degrees of uncertainty due to lack of data, additional control points are needed to verify the accuracy of the maps. When Peyto drills a location, for example, in the Woolrich, control points from vertical portion of the horizontal well are generated in the shallower zones such as the Nauticuan, Middle Fuller, and Upper Fuller. These control points will validate, or not, the presence of the zones of interest. Peyto has drilled several exploratory wells in 2014 in the shallower Sweet River zones, whose control points were defined by first drilling the deeper Woolrich or Blue Sky targets. Now, this method, however, is not always available if the deeper targets themselves are exploratory or are not present. In this case, well log analogs and production analogs from known producing areas will be used to justify drilling an exploratory well, provided that economic hurdles are met based on certain assumptions born out of the well analog's performance. Peyto's systematic approach to drilling step-out locations that are deemed exploratory have spawned many future drilling locations that will continue to serve the company well for many years to come.
Darren, do you have any other comments on the outlook for 2015 at Peyto?
You know, Jim, every year when we get the reserve report, I'm reminded how repeatable our results are and how predictable they are. And, you know, really that's by design. We specifically direct all our energy into plays that are predictable and are repeatable because it lowers the risk. It lowers the risk of getting the returns we want on the capital that we deploy. And that's important to us because we're deploying shareholders' capital. I'm a big shareholder, so that means we're deploying my capital. You know, for so many in the industry, it's easy to be cavalier with shareholders' capital, to take undue risk, to waste the returns they could generate with poor execution and bad decisions. But for us, that's not acceptable. So when it comes to the future, you know, my outlook for Peyto is extremely bright because we have a lot of low-risk, repeatable return projects that we can go and deploy capital in. That's been our past, and I think that's going to be our future, and I think our future is going to be very successful.
Thank you for being part of our 2014 Year-End Reserves Podcast. Our next major event will be our 2014 year-end and fourth quarter financial results that will come out after the close of trading on Wednesday, March 11th, and we will have a conference call to discuss those results with senior management on Thursday, March 12th at 9 a.m. Mountain Time.